I'm definitely giving thanks any chance I get to preach in bare feet. That is amazing. Not to mention shorts and a golf shirt. That's also awesome. Brett, thank you for praying. I just join with him and just say, Lord Jesus Christ, would you use this supernaturally right now for the glory of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit? Take your word and multiply it. I want to speak to you today about really one word as far as our theme. It's urgency. Urgency, the urgency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you right away will say, can I have a message on urgency while I'm sitting in a lawn chair with sunglasses and the sun is shining on the beach? The answer is yes, absolutely. And we're going to hear that again today as well. I'm going to be preaching from Matthew 25. If you have a Bible or your phone, whatever you want to do, you can open that up. Allow yourself to look at the passage, Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. You have 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. The bridegroom comes, 5 are ready, 5 are not. The ones who are not, they go and they try to buy oil for themselves because they had none. They come back, they find the door is shut. The whole point of what Jesus is saying in this parable, which is sobering and serious and filled with urgency, is this. Jesus says, this is summarizing this entire parable, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. It's amazing to me sometimes so much in a church setting, in our day, sometimes the emphasis is to try to make us be as comfortable as we can. And I struggle with that biblically because I'm amazed how much Jesus was trying to make his listeners uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like so often Jesus is encouraging us and challenging us to be not ever comfortable in our complacency. Don't ever be comfortable in spiritual apathy. Don't ever be comfortable again with lukewarm living. That's so important. Understand this, material contentment is good, okay? It's good to be content materially. Spiritual contentment is bad. If you're ever spiritually content, like 6 out of 10, I'm good, I've arrived. No way. The Lord Jesus Christ always has so much more for us. And that's why he brings parables like this into our lives to wake us up, to stir us up, to cause us to understand the urgency that is before us and the reality that he is returning sometime very soon. Matthew 25, again, you have to know, Matthew 25, the whole chapter and Matthew 24 is the context of the return of Jesus Christ. It is imminent. Jesus wanted his listeners to understand and to know he's going to return at any moment. We must live like it for those of us who are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are not, the invitation today so strong is to become a child of God that you may be ready at any moment when the Lord returns and he calls his own to himself, that you could be counted among those who are called children of God as we sang today. So within this parable, there are 3 main characters or elements that we're going to break down. We have 10 virgins, as we heard, 5 foolish and 5 wise. Virgins are unmarried young women. They are bridesmaids in this context as well. Then you have a bridegroom. The bridegroom, without question, is Jesus Christ, symbolized both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, what's mentioned is a marriage feast. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is heaven. This is glory. This is absolutely awesome. Those who are being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So again, we have this parable and the setting of a Jewish wedding. And when Jesus taught this, in some setting maybe similar even to this, when Jesus taught this again as part of the Olivet Discourse, what every of his listeners would know, in a Jewish wedding, this parable took place on the first night. And what would happen is the bridegroom would leave his home and he would travel to receive his bride. He would go to her house. He would receive her, and then the procession would begin as part of the celebration of marriage, of traveling together from the bride's house back to the bridegroom's house. And along the way, you would have people lined up in this procession with torches as an indication that they were part of the wedding party, so to speak, to celebrate the union of this man and this woman. If you did not have a torch and it was not lit, you would be considered a wedding crasher, so to speak, for a lack of a better term. And we're going to find out that would become a very big problem. Again, so if we look at verse 1, the first instance, Jesus says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like. Now, that's a phrase that is often used in the Gospel of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. So many parables are told. Notice the difference here in verse 1. The kingdom of heaven will be like. Now, why is that so important? Jesus here is telling us what the future will be like. Many of us right now, we wish we knew the future. We're always trying to figure out what the future holds. God, I wish I could know your future. Well, right now, Jesus says, here's what it's going to look like. I promise you, Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. This day is coming soon again when these things will be reality and these things will occur. The first thing I want us to understand in this principle or in this parable is this. Point number one, if I had to have points, is this. Don't confuse, listen carefully, don't confuse the professing church with the actual church. Don't confuse the professing church with the actual church. You say, why would you say that? Well, I want you to look at verses 2-4. It says, five of them, bridesmaids, virgins, five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. Incredibly important. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and they slept here. So again, right from the start, there's a contrast between these 10 virgins, five foolish and five wise. We know from the parable again, we know the wise will enter into the feast, which is heaven. And so therefore, we know the foolish will not enter into the feast. And therefore, within this parable, again, the teaching is the foolish virgins will not enter heaven. They will not get there. Again, very sobering, very serious, a parable of great urgency. So 10 professing virgins. But again, think about it. Five are legit, but five are not legit. All claim, though, to have the right heart, right? All seem to be in the right space. They all seem to have a proper motivation. And yet, in the end, the difference between the five and the five, the proof is in the pudding. Or in this case, you could say, the proof is in the oil. It's the bridesmaids with oil are the ones who have their lamps lit and then gain access into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, commentators speculate, what's the oil? The oil is the difference. So what's the oil? Is the oil the Holy Spirit? Is the oil the Word of God? Is the oil the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ received from him as a gift? Is the oil of our faith we place in him for salvation of our souls? I think the answer to all of these things is yes. The oil absolutely in Scripture, as you know, represents the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit regenerates you and causes you to be made alive, that is done by the preaching of the Word of God. Like right now, in that moment, you receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by placing faith in him. So all of these things, for sure, again, it relates to our salvation in the Holy Spirit of God. But again, the oil in the parable is absolutely essential. The oil is the game changer. It's the difference maker. But notice in this parable, and this is for some here right now, everyone in this parable must have their own oil. They cannot share someone else's oil. If you don't have the oil, your lamp isn't lit. If your lamp isn't lit, you're not gaining entrance into the marriage feast, the kingdom of God, or heaven itself. So what is Jesus teaching right here? Jesus is teaching us the difference between the invisible church and the visible church. You say, I need some help to understand that. The visible church is what we see right now before us. Every person here in some form, in some way, is representing a part of the church that we can see. But the visible church is the church that people on earth see. The invisible church is very different. The invisible church is the church as God in heaven sees it. So again, right now you have hundreds. This is awesome to see all the people. Hundreds of people here, part of the visible church. But the reality is God knows precisely who's are his, who here right now is actually alive and saved in Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to offend anyone right now. I'm not trying to say anything that's going to ruffle feathers. I'm just pointing at the obvious. Right here in this setting, not every single person is saved in Jesus Christ. In this setting right now, it's the stories we heard, and it's the point of the church and the gospel. But not everyone here right now is actually alive and part of the actual church, born again by Jesus Christ. You say, who's saved, who's not? I have no idea, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows every single heart. And part of why Jesus teaches this parable, he says, you will have many people who profess to know me, but in reality, they've never had the oil. They've never had the Holy Spirit. They've never been made alive and born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look at how Jesus goes out of his way to teach us these truths. So again, let's not confuse the professing church with the actual church. But now we see this. When Jesus Christ returns, many will be taken by surprise. Verse 5 and 6. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. Look at verse 6. But at midnight, there was a cry, here is the bridegroom.
Here is the bridegroom and the call. Come out to meet him. So the Bible says the bridegroom was delayed. Now, that's understandable. The bridegroom represents Jesus Christ. The bridegroom is operating on his own schedule. He can do whatever he wants. Isn't that interesting? This tells us, and the Bible tells us, that the return of Christ, we must expect it to be delayed. Many people across the last 20 centuries and the accusations against Christ in the church, hey, where's Jesus, man? Is he falling asleep? How come he hasn't returned? Where is he? We're waiting a long time now. How come he hasn't returned? Listen, remember the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord and 1,000 years like a day. So if you take that Bible math, Jesus has been delayed a total of 2 days, all right? So let's understand that. Again, Jesus will do whatever he wants to do, but we're told that we can expect him to be delayed. And so what happens here is in this delay, all 10 virgins become drowsy and fall asleep. Now, in this context, sleep is not sinful. It is not, because both the wise and the foolish do this. But what is so important here is this. As you fall asleep, are you prepared when the bridegroom returns? One of the ways we're called to live as genuine Christ followers is our bags must be packed and ready to go. Preaching again, this topic again, recently, so excited. Understand, you can literally be at the beach, suntanning with sun lotion on and your umbrella and your sunglasses, but at the same time, spiritually speaking, man, your bags are packed and ready to go. You could be on a boat right now and then cruising along, but you are ready for the return of Christ. You can be with your kids and family, but the whole point is, you are not living for now ultimately. You are ready at the moment Christ returns. Your bags spiritually are packed, and in a moment, you're like, I'm ready to go. I heard a story recently of a lady who was living for Christ. Her eternity was so real to her. She was lying down in sleep and a huge thunderclap came over her and the lightning and the thunder, and it shot her out of bed, and she was convinced this was it. Jesus was returning, and she shoots up and she says, Jesus, I'm ready, like that. Now that's awesome, and that's the way that we're supposed to live. Again, enjoying life, being here, serving Christ, but are your spiritual bags packed? Are you ready to go? Jesus is telling us many are not ready. Many are not spiritually packed and ready to go. Many are living entirely for this world and this world alone. So many, like the foolish virgins, again, distracted. They're holding a lamp, listen, but they have no oil. And so the moment Christ returns, in the distraction of life horizontally, they miss entirely life vertically. So notice in verse 6, it says, at midnight a cry, here's the bridegroom, here's the bridegroom. So interesting, the bridegroom's not quite there yet, but he's been sighted, and he's like, he's coming, and the Bible warns us in Matthew 25 and 24, 25, look for the signs. The signs are all around us for the imminent return of Christ. Be ready, be ready. Again, those who live with an eternal urgency are those who will be most used and most ready when Christ returns. Again, Jesus is giving a warning. He's warning us, be prepared. Do not be the foolish virgins again who were not ready for his return. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it speaks of the return of Christ in another instance. And it says, when Christ returns, people will see him in the sky and they will mourn and wail at his coming. Some commentators say the reason people will mourn and wail at the coming of Christ is because they will wail in repentance. But by far, most commentators agree that the reason the people will look up and see Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, coming in the clouds, and they will wail is because in that moment, they will realize they have rejected him, they have not followed him, they have not loved him, they have not believed him. And the moment they see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, and the one who holds the keys to death and Hades, they will see him come, and the terror will fill them, and they will mourn and wail, and the fact that they will say, he's the king, I have rejected him, I have not loved him, I'm dead. I do not belong to him. And the Bible tells us this is what is going to happen. So many will not be ready for the return of Christ. The third thing I want you to see from this text is many will wake up when it's too late. Verse 7, it says this. Verse 7 says, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. They tried to put their torches in order, is what that means. And the foolish said to the wise, watch this, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, well, since there will not be enough for us and for you, you go yourselves to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And as they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, went in with him to the marriage feast. And listen to this scary phrase, and the door was shut. The door was shut. So this is tragic. So apparently, oil in a lamp would last for about 15 minutes. So if you expect to be part of a procession, and you expect for this to take probably longer than a lot longer than 15 minutes, if you didn't bring extra oil, that would make you dumb. Okay, that would make you foolish. That would make you French stupid. All right. So you don't want to be that person, right? But here, they're obviously not thinking. They're not prepared. They're not picking up the reality of what they're being asked to do. They don't have the oil. But this is so tragic. Notice here, it's not that the wise virgins won't share their oil. The reality is, and the principle this is teaching, is that they can't share. Why? Why? Here's what the Bible's teaching us. You can't share your salvation with someone else. I can't give you my whole... Here, take some of my Holy Spirit. My son's here right now. I can't say, hey, Aiden, here's my grace that I've received from Christ. Here, take some. Here's my faith. Take my oil. You can't do that with someone else. You have to make this personal with Jesus Christ yourself. Only you and I individually can take the oil for ourselves. We cannot pass this on to other people. That's a word for some here right now. Again, parents, you can't save your children. You can pray for them. You can beg God. Children, your parents can't save you. Friends, you can't be saved by hanging out really close to someone else. You must turn your life around from sin and embrace Jesus Christ by faith yourself, that the oil of the Holy Spirit would fill your life and change you, and you will be ready with your lamp lit when Jesus Christ returns, that you may be known as one of him. Many people, too, they play the game. They play the game of, well, I'm going to wait a little longer. I'm going to party a little harder. In the end, I'll get around to it. That is an incredibly dangerous game to play. I tried to play that for 22 years. It's amazing to me. I look back and the grace of God was such the dumbest thing ever. And in some ways, too, I believed in God. In fact, I was so dumb spiritually. I actually believed Jesus Christ would return, but I wouldn't do anything about it because I was so filled with my own pride and my own sin and my own stupidity. By God's grace, he allowed me to see, and I bottomed out and was able to see the love and the kindness and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you're here right now and you're like, oh, I'm going to wait. You don't know if you're going to make it the next hour, let alone again the next days or weeks to come. Today you are here by appointment by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is here. God is awesome. God is sovereign. God is working, and he has you exactly where you are right now to bring this message to your heart because he loves you. And again, listen, you don't know if you will ever hear this type of message again. You just don't know that. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The Bible says again, when the Lord is near, draw near to him. And the Lord is here right now. And he's telling you so clearly by the words of Jesus, if you get so comfortable with this life and you neglect eternity itself, that will make you someone who is unwise. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Run to Jesus. Be ready. Know the power of the Holy Spirit. Get the oil in your lamp. Because again, notice the consequences. The foolish rush off to buy the oil, but while they're gone, the bridegroom comes. And when they return, the text says, they find the door shut. Tragic. And then verse 11, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. How many people do that? But he answered, he said, truly, truly. These are the scariest phrase you could ever hear in all of eternity. Jesus says, I do not know you. Lord, Lord, open up, open up. The door is shut. And Jesus says, I do not know you. What does this reveal for us? It reveals for us that once the door is shut, when Jesus Christ returns, then the door is shut permanently. That's why Revelation 1:7, the verse that we mentioned there, is such a big deal. If you wait until Jesus Christ returns, the moment he returns, that door is closed. There is no more opportunity. You know what's amazing too, within the context of this parable? How many people over the course of time, they will see Jesus coming and they will have their lamp. And Jesus will come and they'll say, hey, I got my lamp. He's like, but you don't have any oil. No, Jesus, I have my religion. I went to church a couple of times. I said a couple of prayers. I really worked hard at good deeds. I have my lamp. I have my external facade. I have my lamp. But Jesus says, but you don't have the oil. But I've shined my lamp. Look at it. It's all shiny. It's clean. I've made it all perfect. I've kind of kept care of it. I've been going to doing these things all this time. He's like, but you don't have the oil. And if you have an external religion but no relationship with Jesus Christ, that will never be enough because you need the Lord Jesus Christ within you. That's one of the most important principles Jesus is teaching right here. And these people are like, but we have our lamp. And how many people even right now? You got a lamp. You got some kind of religious thing going on, but you've never had the oil. And for those without the oil, again, the door will be shut, and that will be incredibly sad and tragic situation. But remember, the parable says, the kingdom of heaven will be like, it will be like in the future, but this is not what the kingdom of heaven is like right now. Right now, loved ones, everyone who's here right now, God's appointment for you, the door is not yet shut. The door is wide open. Jesus Christ, because he died and rose again, because of the love that he gave to all of us, this door to heaven is currently open right now. Because Jesus Christ says, I'm the living water. I'm the bread of life. I'm the great I am. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. He is the door himself. For all who believe in him and walk through, they will never, ever die. This is the invitation for you right now to embrace the love of Jesus Christ and to not die. But you must walk through the door of Jesus. It can't be good works. It won't be any other religion. It'll be Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life himself. This is what Jesus is saying. And so think for the rest of us here right now. Jesus says this. Jesus says in verse 13, again, a summary verse for the whole thing. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Isn't that so interesting? Two other times in Matthew 24, he says the same thing. He's like, church, my loved ones, disciples, live like you're ready. Live with urgency. Sit on the beach, enjoy yourself, love the Lord, but be ready with your bags packed. Serve Christ. Love your church. Love the Lord Jesus Christ, but be ready. Do not fall asleep and be unprepared. Why do we live for Christ? Why so much urgency? Listen. Because one day soon the door will be shut at last, and the door will be shut on all pain and all sorrow and all sin and Satan entirely, and the door will be shut again on death and sickness entirely forever. That door will be shut one day soon, and that's why we live. We don't live for now. We live for the world to come and for the one who is coming, and that's why Jesus says, listen, I love you too much to sit there and fall asleep in total comfort and horizontal living. He says, no, there's so much more to live for. Live for me with this one life that you have. Oh, may we hear the word of God and receive it. Jesus is speaking to you, and if he is, we would love to talk to you today as you would have entrance through the door of Jesus Christ and be loved and live eternally because all that he's done for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace of Matthew 25, so clear, so powerful, so needed. And I pray, Lord, you are working. Holy Spirit, would you choose to save people even now? Would you choose to encourage people greatly? Would you choose, Lord, in our time of this life on earth, you will give us such a clarity, such perspective, such a passion for Jesus that we might take advantage, fully advantage of what you've entrusted to us. Oh Lord, move, be glorified even now, we pray together in Jesus' name, amen.